Peace and peace to the household of faith.
Peace and peace.
Amen. Thank God for everyone here, even those that may be on their way. God is good anyway. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
He's all powerful. He's all knowledge.
Yep.
He's all in all because he's our God.
Yeah.
And that God who has done everything for us, beginning with salvation. Amen. In a troubled, chaotic, confused, and you can put 1,000 other adjectives out there. Hallelujah. The child of God has total peace to know that God is in control.
Amen.
And we're going to move right on because, amen, I believe Pastor will be back up next week on the pulpit. And I'm pray for me because I have 2 hours worth of information. I'm going to try to squeeze into it by 1 o'clock. Amen. So I don't know what's going to happen, but God's already decreed what's going to happen. So the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your kindness, and your love. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, the fact that we are members in your glorious body, the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you that in spite of everything that's in turmoil, that the fact that we're in you, hallelujah, that we can have peace and comfort in every situation. Father, we ask that you will edify, build up the word today, Father. Oh God, let everything point to Christ, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, let us look to the cross of Calvary. Let us look to what you have done for us in eternity. We ask that you would breathe upon everyone here, Father. Breathe upon the word of God. And Father, your people going through many tests and trials and tribulations, Father. Oh God, take us high to the eternal sphere. To the sphere where we walk by faith and not by sight. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we ask you to bless Pastor Cutler and Sister Cutler as they travel abroad. Oh God, breathe upon them. Bless them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you will continue to strengthen them according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take right off from where we left off last week. Amen. Amen. I thought last week was my last Sunday because y'all know I had a little procedure in June. And I told the brothers, amen, y'all guys move right on. So Pastor said, no, you're going to go another week. Well, it was decreed, right? So we just move on. You know, when you understand that God purposes everything, you're not out here trying to what? Figure things out. You can just rest in the fact that God controls all things. Romans chapter 3, please. Our reader is going to be Deacon Gavin. We're going to go right into, y'all pray for me today. We're going to go right into chapter 3. It's a little reading. We're going to read the base scriptures, Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23. I repeat. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 23. This is our base scripture for today. And Dick, what we're going to have you do, we're going to have you read this all in King James, but what we're going to have you do, I have you read verse, we have you read verse 21 through 23 in the Greek. Amen? Okay, does everybody have it? Okay, let's begin. Again, Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23.
Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, King James Version. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
No, not one. Amen.
Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God.
The whole world guilty before God, okay?
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, Greek? In linear Greek?
Yes, in linear Greek, verses 21 through 23, yes.
But now, without law, a righteousness of God has been manifested.
A righteousness of God has been manifest without the law. In other words, we Gentiles never had the law, but the righteousness of God has been manifested to us. Okay, D.
Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, a righteousness and of God through faith of Jesus Christ to all the believing. For not there is difference. For all sin,
and come short
of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God. You see, the King James Church messed up verse 22, because if you just read that on the surface, you would think that because of your faith, you got saved. No. You got saved because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Really, you got saved. That's really not an accurate term, because see, when it's like, say, when you got, that means you. It's like you're conveying that you never had it. It's like somebody, if somebody gave you something, you know, God has given us His grace. For by grace are we saved through what? Faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we are the recipients of God's grace in eternity. God saved us before the foundation of the world. We were always in Christ in eternity before God put you in time. Because understand, time is a created entity. Before time, no sin. Time, sin. When God get rid of time, no sin. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand Paul's writings. Because when he says that all have sinned, just by the fact that all have sinned, you know you in time. Because somebody said, how can you be, in one case, never sin, and how can you, in one case, we all have sinned? Well, it depends upon whether you're talking about actualization or manifestation. In God's actualized decree, church, we have always been with Christ. But in time, when God created time, and everything that's associated with time is part of, is the sin goes with it. Sin is synonymous with time. Amen. So let's move on, because we need to understand, because we're going to talk about this more, because if you understand the fact that we all have sin, in other words, no one measures up. No one can measure up to God's what? Standard of righteousness. And it's so sad today that in many churches, people are trying to, from bishops to priests you name it, the ministers, the elders, everybody's trying to what? Work their way to righteousness. Nobody can reach God's standard. That's why we have to have the standard of Christ. That's the only way we can make it. Now, I'm going to go back, because I thought I went a little too fast on this. You know, we mentioned the different dispensation, how all God's, the heads messed up. And I mentioned the kingdom. And we know Jesus Christ is the head of that dispensation. But see, a lot of times people get confused, because they look at the fact that, oh yeah, the messianic kingdom of Christ. All peace in the earth. That's right. It's going to be peace everywhere during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's going to be a peaceful age, but it's not going to be a perfect age. Because you're in time, that tells you that there's still depravity. But at that time, Jesus Christ is going to rule from Jerusalem. Everything's going to be held in check. No one's going to be able to pay off the rich, get a rich lawyer and get off. In other words, when they mess up, it's going to be instant retribution. That's why that day when the devil's locked away, when he talks about what? And by the way, let's say this, the Commonwealth of Israel, that time is your focus on the 1,000 years, the focus is on Israel. Because the body of Christ, we would have been raptured, and we would have been what? Our glorification has been manifested. And the only reason we're going to be here during the millennium is because we are in Christ, we are in Him, and He's going to be here. But that's it. Now, what we need to understand, let's go to Revelation. All right, we started with our gospel, because here's what messes a lot of people up. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. People say, oh, that perfect age during 1,000 years. Well, first of all, it's a time allocation allocated to that. So it tells you right there, it's a peaceful age, but it's not a perfect age. Let's look at this. Revelation chapter 20. Amen. Go there. I know some people without the knowledge that we have in our grace, in the grace covenant, years ago, somebody told me, go to Revelation. I said, stay out of that book. I don't want nothing to do with Revelation. Stay out of there. But if you understand where we are today, church, you know that the events in Revelation does not pertain to you. You're a member of the glorious body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, and let's look at something here. Verse 7 through 10. Read that. You can read that in the King James and Greek. We have time. Again, we're reading Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10, King James first and then Greek.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, King James Version. And when the 1,000 years are expired.
In other words, let's look at the events here real quick. What's going to happen? Next event, the church is going to be raptured away. Our glorification will be manifested. Then, it's a time of Jacob's trouble, for God is going to chastise Israel for 7 years. And all this stuff we see, what Jesus preached about in Matthew 24, and all those things in Revelation, the focus is on Israel, and God is going to what? That time is designed by God, it's decreed by God, to bring Israel back to God. You have nothing, it has nothing to do with you. Amen. So that tribulation period, the focus is on Israel. Amen. Let's keep going deep.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
And verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay, go back. Let's read this in the Greek, the interlinear Greek.
Revelation chapter 20, beginning verse 7, interlinear Greek text. And whenever are finished the 1,000 years.
Whenever are finished 1,000 years, okay.
Will be loosed Satan.
Will be loosed Satan.
Out of the prison of him. And will go forth to deceive the nations. In the four corners of the earth.
In other words, the devil is going to be loose. During 1,000 years, he's going to be in the bottomless pit. But after the 1,000 years, God is going to loose him for a period of time. And what's going to happen now, D? Keep going.
Gog and Magog, to assemble them to the war, of whom the number of them as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the land, and encircle the camp of the saints and the city, having been loved, and came down fire out of heaven and devoured them.
And look at verse 10.
And the devil deceiving them was cast into the lake of fire and sulfur, where also the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night unto the ages of the ages.
Well, we can see that the devil does not have a good end. We see that, right? The devil does not have a good hand. It's amazing. People give him so much credit. It's almost like you look at people, it's almost like they think the devil's more powerful than God. You know, in fact, you go to some churches, every preacher sermon, the devil, the devil, the devil. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. I did this. The devil made me do it. No, the devil did not make you do it. You did it because you were depraved. Stop blaming stuff on the devil. You're depraved. But now we're going to see that with the help of the Lord, once we recognize that we are depraved, then there's a growth process, because we won't be so judgmental. We can lift up our brothers and sisters to see that we're all depraved, but thank God, let's move on in Christ. Amen? Now, what D just read, when it says are inspired, that's in the subjunctive aorist, passive voice. And the subjunctive mood is a probability. Now, listen, what about this word probability? It only arises because the action has not yet occurred, saints. It may be a probability in your perception, but not with God. See, in other words, the action that what he just read about the things that's going to happen in the future, it's a subjunctive error to the degree that it hasn't occurred yet. But, understand, there are no probabilities in God's decree. And God's decree has already occurred. See, you came to church today, and let's say no matter if you were feeling bad and in your mind, you say, well, I'm going to stay home. But you're here. Well, the probability was that you would probably stay home, but yet the decree was that you're here.
Right.
So the probability will never, the probability will always line up with the decree. So what has God decreed? And see, this time of the year, everybody, you know, in this climate of the election year, you know, you have all these polls, and for one week you have so many points McCain is leading, and then if something goes wrong in the air, all of a sudden the next two or three days Obama's leading, and they have these percentages. And what they're really saying was that if the election was today, based upon what these polls, they would say the probability that Obama will win would be what? 55%. And then the next week, they'll say the probability, that's all a poll is, nothing but a probability. So the key here, but here's the problem. The probability, you don't know, but the decree, God knows. So, in essence, we don't know the next president, right? So because we don't know, nobody knows. So they put out these numbers, these probabilities. So when that day comes, November the 4th, don't you be upset, because all that happened, it was manifested what was decreed. So I'm not going to be all anxious, and it's going to be so sad. God's elect now. God's elect on one side, November the 4th, all depressed. God's elect on the other side, November the 4th, all depressed. But understand, what goes down has to line up with the decree. And I don't care what happens. I don't care how impossible the probability is or if not, the decree will always override that probability. You are saved in eternity. So no matter what goes down in time, there's no such thing as a probability you are saved, because God's already decreed that. But in time, things that we don't know, when it manifests, we can only say that it was just decreed. Let's give you another example, because some of y'all look at, what are you talking about? All right, let's give you another example. You sports fans, last year, when these mighty New England Patriots went undefeated, 18-0, they tell me that all these bettors in Las Vegas, they had a 99.99% chance that, oh, it's no way the Jazz were going to beat the Patriots. Tom Brady and the boys. And what happened? It was in the Super Bowl, 2 minutes left in the game, Brady throws a touchdown pass, and it was there. Oh yeah, the probability is going to happen. Oh yes, yes, yes. It's gonna happen. No way they can beat the Patriots. And we know, those that saw the game, Eli Manning comes back and throws a miracle pass. The guy, somehow, it sticks to his guy's helmet. Somehow. Somebody said, no, it wasn't somehow. It was decreed. And then all of a sudden, my boy throws a pass. Eli Manning threw a touchdown pass. And we have a miracle that the new Giants, who was what? Like a 0.01 chance of even winning, won the game. The probability stated that they were going to, the Jets were going to lose, but the decree stated that they were going to win.
Right, 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 right.
So, the point is this. God's decree is God's decree. And when everything goes down, the way, somebody said, well, what about this? I planned this, and it worked out. Well, it didn't work out because you planned so well. It worked out because it was decreed. Some of you have planned, some of you have made no plans or nothing. And it just happened the way you just blew your way. It was decreed. And some of you have put, actually you got your Franklin planner, you took that board, you had everything outlined, and you say, I fell on your face. Why? Because it was decreed. And we're not talking about not planning, not, you know, we use senses, but my point is that if everything is going to go according to God's decree. Amen. So understand, when you understand this, you won't be all messed up, frustrated, when things don't go down the way you were. You plan. You say, well, Lord, it was manifested this way because it was decreed.
Right.
So we're going to make it, we can bring it down home some more. Amen. So you'll get it. Some of y'all have been still frustrated years, but things happened a certain way that you didn't plan for. And all of a sudden, you realize that that may have been a probability, but that wasn't decreed. My college days, I had this, before I even met my wife, my lovely wife, I had this, called, you know, we all have this college sweetheart. And I said, oh yeah, that's my wife, that's it. I hadn't even met Sister Karen there. Everything seemed, that was going to be it, right? Everything. And we were going to get a hell of a proposal in North Carolina for what I call a pre-marriage thing. So I drove from North, my home, Livingston, North Carolina, to Raleigh. We were going to meet and kind of meet the parents and set a date for the marriage. I drove there, the girl didn't show up. Didn't even show up. Now somebody said, what about the probability? Well, it's simple. It wasn't decreed. It wasn't decreed. If it doesn't manifest, if it's not decreed, you can weigh it down. You can hammer yourself out. If God has not decreed it, it's not going to come to pass. But it ain't going to happen. So go to bed and get some sleep. Amen. So why didn't it happen? Why didn't it occur that way? Because God had something else in mind that was a million times better. Amen. So understand, if you understand this way, your life can be so peaceful, understanding to know that God's decree is already set. So what has God decreed? God has decreed that what? That we will be put in time for a depravity would exist, but at the same time, God still controls things even inside the time capsule where depravity exists. Now, if you're looking at this further, we have in time. Romans, Deacon just read Romans chapter 3. And if you go back, I mentioned last week that Romans chapter 1, if you look at Romans chapter 1, it gives us a perfect example of what? Depravity, because the focus on Romans chapter 1 is the Gentiles. In other words, we don't have time to go into all the essence, but in essence, it shows you that depravity regarding the Gentile. Paul talks about men with men, women with men, women, all the crazy stuff. What? Depravity. And the Jews would look at that and they say, look at you dirty Gentiles, you all messed up. Well, Paul shifts gears to Romans chapter 2 and said, wait a minute, you are no better than they. In other words, Paul, in essence, Paul was saying the same thing that what? The Gentiles are doing, you're doing the same thing. That's why he concludes in chapter 3, but he just read, Jews sin, Gentiles sin, we all fall short. But now, understand, if you do not understand the fact that we are depraved, you will never grow in the marvelous grace. Because if you look at yourself as being better than somebody else, then a man think he's something when he is nothing. He deceives himself. And if you don't understand, see what happens? When people do not understand that in a time capsule, somebody do things messed up in time, and you have not done that, it's not a matter that you are better than a person. It's a matter that God did not let that depravity manifest in you, but he allowed it to manifest in someone else. But that doesn't mean that you're not depraved. You're just as depraved as the person that did it. But it's just that God has just vetoed this. And what happened, because people do not understand the workings of the flesh. When things happen, they say, oh, they get all shocked. And you hear some crazy stuff about, oh, they've got, they must inherit a wrong gene. And then they try to, they say, well, if you put this gene in this next generation, and then they may not do that sin. Listen, yeah, you can say gene. The gene is depravity.
Amen.
But when you see these things happen, you don't have to say, why? I mean, for example, the other day, why does a preacher's wife, took a shotgun and blows away her husband, who's a pastor, kills him, graveyard dead. Somebody said, why? They are ministers. Yeah, they are ministers, but they are depraved. Why does a pastor get church secretary pregnant? Simple. The pastor is depraved. Why does the largest Christian denomination, religious leaders today, the ministers, the leaders, have been indicted millions of dollars for messing around with the boys? Why? The leaders are depraved. Why does a Christian mother take her three little children and drives them and goes to a river and takes a car and kills the kids? She's depraved. Now, depravity, the whole world, the whole earth, the universe is depraved. See, when you're looking at depravity, it extends beyond the earth. Because sometimes, see, people have the crazy feeling. They say, well, you got all this crazy stuff going around the earth, but somehow they look at out there, way out there in the galaxies, oh, everything is all peaceful. Well, first of all, understand, if there's time, you're going to have problems. All the universe is in God, in Christ, but yet it's in time. So understand, when you understand this, well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. We need to look at something else. Romans chapter 8, please. Let's look at verse 18. See, when you stay in your gospel, it'll make a lot of sense.
Amen.
To what's happening. Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, yeah. Let's look at verse 18 through 22. Read that in the King James, and then we'll read this in the Interlinear Greek. Does everybody have it? Amen. Romans chapter 8.
Romans chapter 8, beginning 18th verse, King James Version. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
The sufferings of this present time. When Paul says the sufferings of this present time, the things that's going on in the what? Time capsule. We know he's not talking about what? Actualization, because everything outside the time capsule is what? Perfect. So he has to be, what's happening? In the time, what goes down? Keep going, Deacon, please.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
What did Paul mean, church, when he said the whole creation? Notice, he didn't just say what? The creation in the earth. Everything that God has created in the heavens, in the earth, everything is groaning and travailing in pain until now. Let's read this in the Greek, please.
Romans 8, beginning the 18th verse, interlinear Greek text. I reckon, for that not worthy, the sufferings of the now time.
The sufferings of the now time.
To be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us.
In other words, Paul said, do not compare the sufferings that we're going through. Now I know some of you are going through stuff, and if you in time, you're going through something. The only thing is that God has decreed that some of you may be going through things maybe in your body, in your finances, your kids, whatever the situation is. Some of you may be going through different things. But somebody said, "Hell, I'm going through all of it." Well, no problem. Amen. Well, either way, no matter what you're going through, understand that compared to the eternal view is nothing. Amen. Keep going deep.
For the anxious watching of the creation, the revelation of the sons of God is eagerly expecting.
Okay.
For to vanity the creation was subjected.
For to vanity,
Not willingly, but because of the one subjecting in hope. Because even itself, the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
To the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, church, let everyone focus on verse 22. Everyone focus on verse 22.
For we know that all the creation groans together and travails together until now.
Until now. You remember the threefold demarcation of the time frame of the writings and the whole of the whole spectrum of humanity is time past, but now, ages to come. And that's why it's so important to stay in your gospel, stay in your contract for doctrine, for direction, because in our gospel, it is what? Time now. Time past, but now, ages to come. Everything you read in the Bible is going to fall in one of those in one of those time zones. Time past, but now, ages to come. And the problem that a lot of preachers and ministers and God's people have is that they are trying to make doctrine out of time past. Or they're trying to make direction for your life out of ages to come. And if you do that, you would be totally confused. Because if you go to the kingdom messianic gospel, and everything, for the most part, everything that Jesus said was referenced to ages to come. And if you take what Jesus said in ages to come and put that in time past, in this present evil age, nothing's going to make sense. That Jesus, you know, that's why people say, what Jesus said, this didn't make any sense. It made a lot of sense. He's the Son of God. He's God. But he was referring to a future time period. Not now. And if you take what happens to what God is going to say, what God has conveyed in the future to what conveyed in this present evil age, you would be confused. Give an example. We have the scripture. Everybody knows the scripture. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. You know that scripture. Now, if you take that scripture and make this apply to this present evil age, a lot of things you ain't going to understand. But if you understand the workings of God, if you understand the decrees of God, then you say, hey, it went down the way God decreed. In fact, I was talking to my daughter Pamela, and you know, we had to be there celebrated 9/11. And it was interesting that it was reported in many articles that y'all know that on that day, 9/11, and somebody said, this don't make any sense. Well, everything that God has decreed is God's decree. Do you know that there are some of God's elect, men of God's elect, that went to work that day and died? There were some of these scoundrels out here that could care less about God, that called in sick that day and survived. But somebody said, that doesn't make any sense. Well, if you understand the decrees and workings of God, in fact, in one account, they said there were one or two pastors that were in those twin towers. That was their course. But now the whole world was confused. When so many of God's people died in those twin towers. They said, wait a minute. If you take the scripture that says, no weapons formed against you shall prosper, and apply it to this present evil age, you would never slay 9/11. Like one dear brother of mine, good brother, he was saying, we were talking about this evening it happened. He said, Elder, real simple. I said, what do you mean real simple now? Tell me about it. I said, what about those people, God's people that died in those twin towers? Well, they just didn't hear the voice of God. I said, wait a minute. Come on, Mike, come on. What are you saying? Listen, church. You see, if you do not understand the workings of God, you come up with some crazy stuff. Now, Mike is like my brother. I can talk to him like this. I said, Mike, what are you talking about? He said, I believe that on that morning, that the Spirit of God, the Lord knew. Now, he did say this. The Lord knew that was going to happen. Thank God he did know. He did go along with that. That, you know, it didn't catch God by surprise. But he said, if God's people were just listening to the voice of God, that there was going to be a catastrophe, they would have stayed home. I said, look, Mike, it happened because it went down the way it was. But see, what he's, you know, he's one of those faith churches that say, you see what happens? See, here's the key. If you feel that what? You contribute to your salvation, right. You will feel that you have to what? Right. You have to contribute to everything that goes down in your life.
Right.
But if you understand that God is the author of your salvation, yeah. That God controls all things, that everything goes down according to God's decree, amen, you can rest here to know that God controls all things because he's decreed all things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's already decreed the next terrorist attack. Yeah. Somebody said, what? Somebody said, there's going to be another terrorist attack? Well, listen, are you in the time capsule? There are going to be some things happening, church. But guess what? No matter what happens, God controls everything inside the time capsule. No, it was a matter of those people. Now, see what happens? Then all of a sudden, the people have a lot of guilt. If they had just listened to God. No, it went down the way it was supposed to go down. Amen. Your life is going down right now the way it was supposed to go down because God decreed all things. But now, let's go to verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. Read verse 22 in the interlinear Greek. 22. We're going to look at for the whole creation groaneth. Read this in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm. Romans 8:22, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For we know that all the creation groans together and travails together until now.
The whole creation. Mm-hmm. Notice, the Bible tells the church, the whole creation is groaning and travaileth in pain until now. At this time, this now, this present evil age, the whole God's whole creation is travailing and pain until now. See, right now, it's not just a natural occurrence, and we need to pray for in the situation in Texas, those hurricanes. What's happened? I mean, they think about it. It's not natural for a wind is blowing 100 miles an hour, and what? It stirs up this water, and you have a massive hurricane. That's not natural in terms of God. What it is, that's a product of God's creation is groaning.
Yeah.
Amen. When you have earthquakes and earth shaking and volcanoes, all this is happening is that the earth is what? Groaning for its deliverance. And one day, just like our deliverance will manifest, one day the deliverance of God's whole creation will manifest when God gets rid of time.
Right.
And understand, as long as there's time, there's going to be what? Things that are depraved incidences. But God is so good because God is a, yes, God created, in essence, time. So he created everything that's associated with time.
Yeah.
Which means that in spite of everything, God still controls all things. Even in time, that things that we may not understand, God still controls all things. Amen. Go beyond the universe. Out there, people say, oh, you know, so much peace out there. You know, out there, there's so much chaos. I mean, you go out there, there are clashes, and there are comments, there are boom, boom, boom. I mean, it is so much chaos out there, and they have what we call black holes. Anything that comes near a black hole, think of something that's so powerful that it goes in a black hole that it never comes out. In other words, this is a product of God's depraved creation. But what's the good news? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? The Bible tells, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. What happened is this. You know, we mentioned what? The hurricanes and all the things, what? The products of depravity. Let's say, church, let's look at the other side. If God let depravity manifest in the earth the way it manifests in other places beyond the earth, none of us would survive. What has God done? God's put an atmosphere over this earth. In spite of what's happening with all these climatic conditions and everything out here, basically, this earth is at peace compared to what's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. So I think Elder Nicholson talks about the show, all the planets and everything, bombarding all the... I mean, it's so much chaos out there. So basically, God has what? Shielded us from a lot of this chaos. And somebody said, well, how I was saying, you know, they say, well, what about this tsunami that came and wiped out 100,000 people? Well, I'm telling you, if God still did not shield us, it'd be a lot worse than it is now. Amen. But understand that God is control of all things, and understand, if you go back to the workers of God, church, that we can look to each other and we can see each other, not through our weaknesses, not through the things that we're going through in time, but we can look at each other through what God has done for us in eternity. And see, the problem that the church has is that when they see their brothers or sister fall, and we're not making no excuse for messing up. Because we all, by the way, you don't have to make an excuse for depravity. Depravity is going to mess up. But the key is this. The problem with the church is that when they look at someone as if I'm up here and you're down there, and in the eyes of God, God said nobody's better than the other, then we can lift up our brothers and sisters to grow in this wonderful grace to know that we're all in the same boat. To know that if it wasn't for his marvelous grace, none of us would survive. But when we don't understand this, we'll point the fingers and we'll say, you. But what about you? In fact, something happened I ain't calling names, I don't need to. About 20 years ago, there was a brother that had a worldwide ministry that failed. Amen. In fact, both these brothers had worldwide ministries. And both of them messed up. Probably other than the Billy Graham ministry, these two ministers were probably the largest ministers in the United States. So one brother messed up the secretary, messed up. And the other brother, rather than lifting him up in terms of what? Restoring him, he gets on national radio, TV, magazines, and he makes a statement where this brother is a cancer in the body of Christ. Now, the brother, he messed up. We're not giving no excuse for that. But I'm not talking, we're talking about church leaders. And this brother just beat the brother over the head. It's like he's a disgrace to the body of Christ. He's a disgrace. What's wrong with him? And then you were wondering, well, why is he so critical of this other brother? And all of a sudden, in a matter of months, he messed up. And the brother that was beating the brother over the head, he gets on TV crying. I don't know if they call names. Y'all know. Go back 20 years. Get back on TV crying. I've sinned against God. I've sinned. But see, if you don't watch it, when you beat somebody else up, God will work the thing out that your depravity manifests. Because all of us, hallelujah, we were depraved, but we have to look beyond the time capsule. Beyond our day-by-day occurrences, but we have to look at what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. And the problem is that when people mess up, do you see that person messing up in time, or do you see them a new creation in Christ Jesus? Because when you see them as a new creation in Christ Jesus, you can look beyond. You can look beyond the situations. And you can look beyond these things that happen in time, and you can say that, hey, I'm looking beyond this to see that what? We are all one in Christ Jesus. God has a great plan for our life, and we're going to be what? One day there'll be peace and love and harmony. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the head, we're the body. Let's get along right now, in spite of the problem that we're having. By the way, we're not saying when someone has a problem, yeah, we're to go. In fact, let's go to the scripture. Because what should have been the attitude? That brother beat the other brother over the head. What should have been the workings of God? In other words, what should have been the workings of grace? Let's go to Galatians, please. Let's go to Galatians. Amen. Galatians, I believe, chapter 6. We have time. We can read this King James and the Greek. Church, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. We still hear pages. We'll give you time to turn there. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Okay, you ready? Okay, Deacon Gavin against our reader. Now we're going to read this in the King James, and then we'll go to the interlinear Greek.
Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
If a man. That includes the ladies. That includes everybody, right? Somebody said that. He said a man. No, he's talking about everybody. Come on. Okay, D.
Be overtaken in a fault.
If a brother or sister be overtaken in a fault, beat him up, knock him down, judge him. Keep going.
Ye which are spiritual.
Ye which are spiritual.
Restore.
Restore.
Such a one.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of meekness.
In the spirit of meekness.
Considering thyself.
Now consider thyself.
Lest thou also be tempted.
Lest thou also be tempted. Now what did you just notice? The Bible tells what? The same thing that caused the brother or sister to mess up. What happened? They messed up because God did not veto that. It was on what? We mentioned earlier about decree. God just did not veto that depravity. But what happened? Read verse 3 again.
If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Consider yourself. What God is saying, church, is that the same thing that caused a brother or sister to fall, you restored them in the spirit of humility. Because in essence, if God did not veto your flesh, you would do the same thing or worse.
I hear you.
So you can't say, and the problem that people have, if somebody messed up, we're the body of Christ, one head, Jesus, many members, but they, instead of what? Restoration. And if any organism that should have the epitome of restoration, it is the grace. It is grace. Because grace means, grace is God's unmerited favor. If God judged us by our trespasses, none of us would survive. But thank God, it says what? Consider thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. In fact, so you know what? You can say that thank God, and what did one preacher say? One preacher stated, if it wasn't for the grace of God, the same thing would have happened to you. And see, what happened is that people get messed up. You see, you remember we stated earlier that when you understand depravity, you can still grow in grace to know that God still controls all things, because everything in the time capsule, anything can go down, but God still controls all things. And when things go down, you should not look at the weaknesses of your brothers and sisters. You should look at the glory and riches of Christ. Christ is the one that we should look to, in essence. But so many people, they look to man, and man can mess up any day. But who is our standard? It is Jesus. Who is our standard? It's Jesus. Jesus is our standard. Because he'll never mess up. He'll never let us down. But the problem that people have is that when someone messes up, they get all messed up. When I first moved here 30 years ago, there was one of the biggest churches in Detroit. Powerful church. Big church. And in essence, my brother was a minister at that church. Most of y'all know my brother. And he was telling me the other day, he said, William, you know, it's amazing. The pastor got messed up. I'm not being specific. He got out there. In fact, he died a few years ago. And he said, my brother was a minister at a church for 10 years. He said that some of those members, when he fell, some of those members have not returned to a local fellowship. They got so what? Out of it. Some had nervous breakdowns. Because in the church, it was a big church when the minister fell. But what's the key? The key is that, are we looking to man's depression or are you looking to God? But we understand that when things go down here, we can say, look, lift up each other, but our focus should always be Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because God has already taken care of everything. Because if God judged us based upon things that happen on a day-by-day basis, none of us will get it. None of us will make it. But we have made it because we have made it in eternity. Because God saved us in eternity. Thank God what God has done for us in eternity has nothing to do with what happened in time. And aren't you glad? Hallelujah. But the problem that people have, because they do not understand depravity, they feel that they're struggling through here, and that right now, one day, if I can just make it through, if I can just get more of my rights than wrongs, I can probably squeeze through heaven. Now, isn't that a sad way to live, that you and your depraved flesh, you're trying to squeeze through heaven? No. God's already done it. Has he? God's already done it. And I'm going to close out on this last scripture. If you understand the fact that God is not judging us on a day-by-day basis, God has already taken care of everything in eternity. Let's close on this. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5. You're on time. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse 17 through 19. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse 17. We have time. Read this in the Greek, King James, and then we'll read it in the Greek.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, King James Version. Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
yes, any man Christ,
he is a new creature.
He's a new creation, okay?
Old things are passed away.
Uh-huh.
Behold, all things are become new.
Okay.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. Now let's go. Let's read this. Let's read this in the Interlinear Greek.
2 Corinthians 5:17 mm-hmm. Interlinear Greek text. Mm-hmm. So as if anyone in Christ, he is, or anyone in Christ, a new creation.
A new creation.
The old things passed away.
The old things passed away.
Behold, they have become new.
Behold, they have become new.
And all things of God.
All things of God. We know God is the creator of all things. All things of God.
The having reconciled us to himself through Christ.
We have been reconciled to God. When were we reconciled? We are reconciled in eternity. Keep going, D.
And having given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Now look at verse 19. This is the blessing part. Oh Lord, this is so good. To wit,
King James Version, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
World unto himself.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Not imputing their trespass unto them.
And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Read verse 19 in the Interlinear.
2 Corinthians 5:19 in Interlinear Greek text. As that God was in Christ.
God was in Christ.
World reconciling to himself.
World reconciling to himself.
Not reckoning to them the trespasses of them.
Not reckoning to them the trespasses to them.
Mm-hmm. And placing in us the word of reconciliation.
In other words, God is not reckoning to us our trespasses. Let's use a little English, modern English. God is not counting up your messed up. He's not counting up on a day-by-day basis. You messing up, you messing up, you messing up. He is not keeping tab. Because if he kept tab, we all be messed up. See, I was raised at old Baptist church down south that come on now, you got to be good. You know, say be good. Nothing wrong with that being good, because that's the goal of grace. It's to what? You do your best, right? The goal of grace is to identify with the new man. But at times, I guarantee, if you're in your body, you're going to identify with the old man. And anybody that had some problems this week, whatever, all it happened, you just identify with the old man. But the goal of grace is to identify with the new man. And that's a component of maturity and what God has decreed for your life. But so many people think that when they mess up, that God's got a big scoreboard and that he's got your name And every time you miss it, he's going to mark the scoreboard. And that the good things you do, you know, somebody say, oh, I paid my tithes, I did this. And they pray that one day, I hope that what? The good will outweigh the bad, and I can get into heaven. See, first of all, you're on a works program. Thank God in our contract, you're on grace. Grace contract. God is not counting up our weaknesses, our failures, our faults, because if God kept a scoreboard, none of us would survive. But thank God, just like Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and which means that if you, God's elect, that means that your sins and the time capsule, everyone that you will ever do, it's already been forgiven. Because you are what? A new creation in Christ Jesus. See, the carnal mind say, you mean tell me everything that I would do, it's no matter what I do in the future, it's already forgiven. I can go ahead and do this and this. See, that's carnal. That's carnality. The spiritual mind would say, thank God for what I'm a recipient of His grace, a recipient of His love, a recipient of His mercy, a recipient of His goodness. Everything that God has done for me in eternity is not affected by what all my mistakes in time. Because when God looks at you, He sees you in Christ Jesus. And He can't see anything else. Because everything else is a stench in the nostrils of God. Have you ever thought about this? Why is it, before our salvation manifests in terms of our time, the one reason we're going to stand, get our glorified body, and we'll be in essence to be in His presence, because in essence we'll be one in Christ. We're there positioned now. But you know, there's no way that these depraved bodies can stand in the presence of God. And we get a corroboration in some case in the Old Testament where people, and they had an Ark of the Covenant, and when they tried to what? Approach God in their own way, depravity comes in contact with perfection, instantly dead. If God manifests Himself to us right now, the glorious God, the all-righteous God, the mighty God, if He came down there, if He came today and manifested Himself right now, we would all instantly die. Now, we're not saying death in terms of being separated from God, but if God actually what did that, it's no way that we could survive. That's why God would have to, has to change our devout bodies, likened to His what? Glorified bodies. In essence, the body of Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. We are God's elect. We are God's people. He has done so much for us. And each day that we live, each day that we breathe, our focus should always be on the eternal hope that God has given us through Christ, not on the day-by-day occurrences in time. Because in time, you don't know what goes down. But understand that God controls all things. There's nothing outside the arena of His control. Because if there's ever anything outside of his control, then it breeds a lot of insecurity, a lot of frustration, a lot of heartache. But the last thing I say is this. You get a glimpse. And I thought about this the other day. Why was it that those Christians in the first century, facing the lions, facing the arenas, crazy things happened. Why did they have so much peace? They understood that by God's decree that whatever goes down, and it was reported that many of them were the crazy emperors made lights out of their bodies for light to sit at night. Lying, all these problems, it's understood that they look beyond time. They look beyond these problems. They look beyond situations, and they look to the eternal view that only God could cause them to see that our meaning in life is all synonymous with what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. God bless you.